update of our little seminar on the continuous process, how a person can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Today's class will be easy to understand and very, very practical. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vidyate.
Vidyate.
Vidaya Grante.
Vidaya Grante.
Chetyante.
Chetyante.
Sarva Sanshaya. Chetyante. Chasya. Karmani.
Karmani.
Drishta.
Drishta.
Evat Manishvare.
Evat Manishvare.
Vidyate Vidaya Grante. Oh, sorry. We will immediately go to the translation. But first I want to say, remember how everything started? It started with a knot in the heart, which binds the soul to Maya. And it was said, this third... Kalasambara, you have to help me with this word. Third, socht. This socht. Thought depends on the dialect. With sword in hand,
sword.
Yes, the sword in hand. It's like a big knife. Intelligent man cuts through the binding knots of reactionary work by remembering the personality of Godhead. Now today's verse ends with the same theme. It's a section which we have covered. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive action, this material life, is terminated when one sees the self as master. Purport. Attaining scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead means seeing one's own self simultaneously. As far as the identity of the living being as spirit self is concerned, there are a number of speculations and misgivings. The materialist does not believe in the existence of the spirit self, and the empiric philosophers believe in the impersonal feature of the whole spirit without individuality of the living beings. But the transcendentalists affirm that the soul and the super soul are two different identities, qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. There are many other theories, but all these different speculations are at once cleared off as soon as Sri Krishna is realized in truth by the process of Bhakti Yoga. Sri Krishna is like the sun, and the materialistic speculations about the absolute truth are like the darkest midnight. As soon as the Krishna sun is arisen within one's heart, the darkness of materialistic speculations about the absolute truth and the living beings is at once cleared off. In the presence of the sun, the darkness cannot stand, and the relative truths that were hidden within the dense darkness of ignorance become clearly manifested by the mercy of Krishna, who is residing in everyone's heart as the super soul. So Prabhupada in his purport carries over the points which were made in the last two verses, where it said that there is a process of existence called Vishuddha Sattva, the direct realization of the supreme personality of Godhead takes place. And he was, he is now saying, when that realization is there, the speculations and misgivings are definitely finished. Let us continue. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.11, the Lord says that in order to show special favor to his pure devotees, he personally eradicates the dense darkness of all misgivings by switching on the light of pure knowledge within the heart of a devotee. Therefore, because of the personality of Godhead taking charge of illuminating the heart of his devotee, certainly a devotee engaged in his service in transcendental love cannot remain in darkness. He comes to know everything of the absolute and the relative truths. The devotee cannot remain in darkness, and because a devotee is enlightened by the personality of Godhead, his knowledge is certainly perfect. This is not the case for those who speculate on the absolute truth by dint of their own limited power of approach. Perfect knowledge is called parampara, or deductive knowledge, coming down from the authority to the submissive oral receiver, who is bona fide by service and surrender. One cannot challenge the authority of the Supreme and know him also at the same time. He reserves the right of not being exposed to such a challenging spirit of an insignificant spark of the whole, a spark subjected to the control of illusory energy. The devotees are submissive, and therefore the transcendental knowledge descends from the personality of Godhead to Brahma and from Brahma to his sons and disciples in succession. This process is helped by the super soul within such devotees. That is the perfect way of learning transcendental knowledge. So there is one more paragraph. Dear devotees, please take note of this paragraph. This enlightenment perfectly enables the devotee to distinguish spirit from matter, because the knot of spirit and matter is untied by the Lord. This knot is called ahankara, and it falsely obliges a living being to become identified with matter. As soon as this knot is loosened, therefore, all the clouds of doubts are at once cleared off. One sees his master and fully engages himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, making a full termination of the chain of fruitive action. In material existence, a living being creates his own chain of fruitive work and enjoys the good and bad effects of those actions life after life. But as soon as he engages himself in the loving service of the Lord, he at once becomes free from the chain of karma. His actions no longer create any reaction. So, dear devotees, today we have arrived at Nandagram and also at the conclusion of our lecture series. As said before, I want to thank all of you very, very much for giving me the chance to address all of you. This morning I told Tobhadra Prabhu that as a preacher who only preaches in the tamasic and ignorant West, it's a great boon and pleasure for me to be able to be allowed to lecture in this Braj Mandal, and especially to have such a nice audience of wonderful Vaishnavas who definitely made a commitment in their lives to purify themselves by the dust of Braj is just a wonderful audience. So if I have sometimes talked a little harshly due to my incorrigible aggressive nature, please forgive me for this. But today I will talk even more aggressively. So do you all hear me acoustically? Yeah? Hari Bhakti, can you hear the sound vibration? Not so good? If you do feel some hearing, please come a little bit closer, everyone. You also, please do not be shy. So that if more devotees come, you are not dressed properly. Good. So, this knot in the heart is to be pierced. This is the knot of ahankara, of false identification, which is very, very strong. I want to tell you a story which kept me, which woke me somewhat up. It's about a person who wants to become initiated by a great devotee. He's a proud aristocratic gentleman from Calcutta. So he comes to this Mahatma and says, please initiate me, thinking the Mahatma will be happy to have a man of wealth and taste as his disciple. But the Mahatma says, no, you are too proud. You are not ready to be initiated. So this man comes back again and again to this great soul and says, please, am I ready now? No, you are still too proud. Finally, the guru tells his desirous, the candidate, don't come back before you have found someone or something which is inferior to you in all respects. So the gentleman thinks, so this is an easy task. I just go out of the kutir here, and the next person I'm seeing on the road, I'm bringing him to this Mahatma, and then I'm going to be initiated. But when he left the house, by the mercy of the Mahatma, he understood that everyone has good qualities and bad qualities. No one is just bad, and no one is just only good. That doesn't exist in the world. So he had second thoughts and thought, well, sure, there I see a donkey. This donkey is certainly inferior to me in all respects. I've learned so many shastras, and the donkey can just comment on any subject with, that's all. But then, as he was thinking twice, he thought, well, also the donkey has a qualification which I don't have. He can carry heavy burdens, which I cannot do. So he was thinking and thinking, and one day, and he became very despondent. So one day he went to the field to answer nature's call, and as a heap was manifesting underneath him, he thought, well, here it is. The Mahatma had said, find somebody or something which is inferior to you in all respects. Certainly this aggressively smelling heap is inferior to me in all respects, even location-wise, it is certainly inferior. But then he thought, no, that's also not correct. Before, this was nice Thanksgiving vegetable. Then it came in contact with me, and then only it was transformed into this substance. So that it's not inferior to me in all respects. As he was sitting with this meditation, a worm started to approach his new place of residence. And the person thought, well, now I really found someone who's inferior. This worm is so low class, he enjoys even the most low class substance in the universe. This poor creature, I'm certainly higher. But then he was thinking, no, this is also not correct, because a worm can even take this horrible substance and make manure for the field. Is it called manure? Or dung for the field? So it has this quality which I don't have, and therefore is not inferior to me in all respects. And therefore, he went back to the Mahatma with tears in his eyes and said, I can't be initiated. I couldn't pass your test. Ah, said the devotee, now you are ready for initiation. So you might think, why does Maharaj tell this Farhad story in Nandagrama? I mean, what does this have to do with me? The point is that our great acharyas in their writings, they sometimes refer to themselves as being lower than the worm in the stool. Have you noticed? There's a Krishna Das Kaviraj's Goswami's writing, there is such a thing. In utter humility, they refer themselves to themselves as totally unqualified. And they even say, please, my dear Lord, my request is that my next birth, even if it is as an insect, is in the house of a devotee. In other words, by self-realization, a great soul will understand really that he is not the body, that his material qualifications, and also disqualifications, by the way, are not his real nature. He is an eternal spiritual soul, a tinier part of the whole, smaller than 10,000th, the tip of the hair. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he speaks about false ego in these terms. He says, actually, my abhiman means false identification, is more unnatural than the straw in the street. Therefore, let me become more humbler than the straw in the street. Because, see, I identify with this colossal body, with this big body, but the grass in the street, I wanted to say, the grass in the street doesn't have such identification, doesn't identify with such a huge body. Therefore, lower than the straw in the street. This is the philosophy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The point about this ahankara is that it always changes forms, no matter in what form, in what type of life you are. We hear from Prabhupada in the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam about Indra, who became a pig, and as he was wallowing in the mud, Brahma approached him and told him they needed him back in the heavenly planets. Today, Kalasamvara and Yasoda Dulal and myself went from Pavan Sarova back to Nandagram, And we saw this one pig just wallowing in this black mud. Black mud means there's a urine of 10,000 Brijbasis inside in the stool. It is unfiltered, infective dirt. So we were just thinking out of joking spirit, my dear pig, here's the clear water of the Pavan Sarovar. There is a pathway for you down. You can also go. It is very nice. It delivers you from all sins. Why don't you go just 20 meters to the other side? This is more preferable, this path. But the pig would support with strong arguments the need to wallow in the dirty mud, because he thinks he is a pig. So Indra also used strong arguments to Brahma. He said, why do you tell me I should go back? Don't be irresponsible. I have to keep on my patriarchic position here. See, there's my wife and my children and so on and so forth. This ahankara is the most subtle of all material elements, and when the soul enters the material sphere, it first gets covered with ahankara. Ahankara, which gets stirred up by the different modes, becomes the source of the mind. That is when the mode of goodness infuses ahankara. It becomes the source of the senses and intelligence, and the mode of passion stirs up ahankara, and it becomes gross matter when the mode of ignorance comes in contact with ahankara. In other words, except for the dharma, everything is made, it has its origin in false ego. Ahang means I, and kara means the maker. You know, just like you find potters who make interesting pots, you will see in Nandagram, the ahankara always makes new shapes. You may give up the ahankara, I'm a rock star, but rest assured, the eye maker is not death. The new pot will be, I'm a big devotee, I'm a guru, I am sannyasi. It never, there is a little potter inside your heart, turning with great speed the wheel, and forming new identities since time immemorial. This is the eye maker inside the heart. So this false ego binds us to material life, birth after birth, but we find here the solution, that by this process of Krishna consciousness, where the Lord appears in the heart first by hearing, and then remains in the heart, if you serve the pure devotee and the holy name and the Tadiyanam, by this process, the ahankara gets dissolved. Prabhupada says, if you are in Krishna consciousness, you will always see Krishna, Atmani, within the mind and heart. That is the that seeing is immunity from all sinful acts. Then you become free to go back home, back to Godhead. Let me repeat it, because some of your heads were on your chest or on the shoulders of your neighbors while I was reading this. And now please drink with your ears this sentence. It's very good. If you are Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada switches over to we. If you are Krishna conscious, we'll always see Krishna, Atmani, within the mind and heart. That seeing is immunity from all sinful acts. Karmic chain is broken. Then you become free to go back home, back to Godhead. So, the example with which I would like to close this discussion is Narada Muni himself. In the fifth chapter of the Bhagavatam, in the sixth chapter, Vyasadev asks Narada Muni for his story, how he came to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes when devotees meet amongst themselves, they ask this question, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? And it's always very, very interesting stories. If you would like to know a good subject matter to discuss when you meet new devotees and want to make devotee friendships, I would suggest three subject matters. Discuss how did you come to Krishna consciousness, and you will see how the devotee's heart will open immediately. And then you could ask him or her what really is in your mind these days, what concerns you. That's another good question to get to know the other devotee. And then you could ask, what do you want to achieve in your life in Krishna consciousness? Usually when we meet, we ask, when did you come? When do you go? Do you know the Mayapur talks? Huh? It's almost like 10,000 mosquito bites at once when you hear this question for the hundredth time. Who's your guru? And so on. So here, Vyasadev asks his own spiritual master, how did it happen in your life? How did you become a devotee? And Narada Muni, in his answer, really tells this process which we have just now heard in detail. He said, I was a son of a maid servant, and once I met these great souls, and I heard from them Krishna Katha. You remember, this is how you enter Krishna consciousness. You meet pure devotees, or you meet devotees of the Lord, and you hear from them, and this is how you get an affinity for hearing about Krishna. Do you remember? This is how we begin. And then Narada Muni says in one verse, exactly, he talks about this ruchi. He says, down for your own reference, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 26. He says, Priyashravas Yanga Mama Bhavat Ruchihi. O Vyasadev, in that association and by the mercy of those great Vedantists, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna. And thus, listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. The word here is mama bhavat ruchihi chihi. So he got the taste. And Narada Muni also describes his feelings towards this great thought. Sometimes we feel, how should we talk today on the walk with one devotee about the relationship to the spiritual master and how important it is. And here in this verse it says, what are the qualifications for a prospective candidate who wants to be elevated to the position of a pure unadulterated devotee. He says, I was very much attached to those sages. Like our little Radhika once went to Indradumna Maharaj when she was only 5 years old, and she said, Maharaj, I really love Maharajas. Very good. I was very much attached to those sages. Huh? I was gentle in behavior, shouldn't be a rough stone, and all my sins were eradicated in their service. In my heart, I had strong faith in them. I had subjugated the senses, and I was strictly following them with body and mind. Huh? So these qualifications, should I repeat them? Gentle in behavior, sins eradicated by service, strong faith, subjugation of senses, and following with body and mind. This is how an ideal disciple should conduct himself in this life in relationship to his spiritual master. So anyways, Narada Muni was hearing from them, and he wanted to follow them immediately, but his mother, who had already lost her husband in an early stage of her life, pleaded with Narada Muni to please stay and complete his schooling at the Brahmana's place. So that she did. Narada Muni had to stay home because his mother just didn't want to let him go. She was alone. One day, Narada Muni was at his house, and there was a shocking news. The village people came and said, your mother has died being bitten by a snake bite. And then she came in being carried on a palanquin, the stretcher. So Narada Muni was expected to do the funeral ceremony. But what he did is, he took the body of his mother inside the house and then burned the whole house. Now this means something. It means you're never going to accept householder life. He took internally sannyas at that moment. And when traveling, he followed the process which the Bhaktivedantas had given to him. He heard about Krishna, meditated about him, and then he achieved that platform, Vishuddha Sattva, where the Lord actually appeared before him and was visible before him. And this is this is Narada Muni's story, how I came to Krishna consciousness. So, the Bhagavatam gives, in other words, the process and a practical example how it works. We are all encouraged to follow this example. Jiva Goswami Kaja, Jiva Goswami says that that here in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, the whole process of coming to Krishna consciousness is explained. In the rest of the Bhagavatam, more or less talks about this process and how to apply it in one's own life. This is how important these verses are. So I would really request you all, my respected audience, to please, when you have a moment in your life where where your concentration is not broken and where you are not tired from walking long distances and hearing long pravachans, long conversations. So please, in your own life, study this passage of the Bhagavatam. We read from the first canto, chapter 2, text 15 to text 21. These are 6 verses, and then you can read the 5th chapter of the Bhagavatam and the 6th chapter for the practical example of Narada Muni. And then you can always read the Bhagavatam and never stop reading it. Because you will be solidly convinced that this process is the most important thing in your life. It will help you to solve all the problems which can be reduced to the knot within the heart, the false ego. In Yugoslavian language, this is called Who is here from Yugoslavia? Please say the word. False ego, lajanya or something. What? Lajanya. Lajan means lie. Isn't it? It's a lying ego. We could say, instead of false ego, the lying ego. Not lion, but lying ego. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your kind attention. Let us see, Bhadra Prabhu, is the prasadam ready to be served? It is. So, I think today's class was pretty clear. It was not very... There was a technical part in it, but that is very difficult to, and takes long time to explain. I think we should end just now and move upwards to take prasadam. Or should we take any question? I really feel prasadam is ready and we are ready to take prasadam. And also the subject was clear. It was not complicated. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Krishna Balarama ji ki jai, Nandagam ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Arvindam.
Jai.